Steve Woolgar to comment, "The negotiations as to what counts as a proof or what constitutes a good essay are no more or less disorderly than any argument between lawyers and politicians." It seems to have been an easy step from these useful historical and sociological observations to the radical position that the content of the scientific theories that become accepted is what it is because of the social and historical setting in which the theories are negotiated. The elaboration of this position is sometimes known as the strong program in the sociology of science. This attack on the objectivity of scientific knowledge is made explicit and even brought into the title of a book by Andrew Pickering, Constructing Quarks. In his final chapter, he comes to the conclusion, "And, given their extensive training and sophisticated mathematical techniques, the preponderance of mathematics in particular physicists' accounts of reality is no more hard to explain than the fondness of ethnic groups for their native language. On the view advocated in this chapter, there is no obligation upon anyone framing a view of the world to take account of what 20th century science has to say." Pickering describes in detail a great change of emphasis in high-energy experimental physics that took place in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Instead of a common sense, Pickering's term, approach of concentrating on the most conspicuous phenomena in collisions of high-energy particles, i.e. the fragmentation of the particles into great numbers of other particles going mostly in the original direction of the particle beams, experimentalists instead began to do experiments suggested by theorists, experiments that focused on rare events, such as those in which some high-energy particle emerges from the collision at a large angle to the incoming beam direction. There certainly was a change of emphasis in high-energy physics, pretty much as described by Pickering, but it was driven by the necessities of the historical mission of physics. A proton consists of three quarks, together with a cloud of continually appearing and disappearing gluons and quark-antiquark pairs. In most collisions between protons, the energy of the initial particles goes into a general disruption of these clouds of particles, like a collision of two garbage trucks. These may be the most conspicuous collisions, but they are too complicated to allow us to calculate what should happen according to our current theory of quarks and gluons, and so they are useless for testing that theory. Every once in a while, however, a quark or gluon in one of the two protons hits a quark or gluon in the other proton head-on, and their energy becomes available to eject these quarks or gluons at high energy from the debris of the collision, a process whose rate we do know how to calculate. Or the collision may create new particles, like the W and Z particles that carry the weak nuclear force.